You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Dr. Dacher Keltner, a psychology professor at the University of California, Berkeley, released a book earlier this year with a bombshell piece of advice: go outside. Recently, Dr. Keltner spoke to the New York Times about the book. It's entitled Awe: The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. In it, he recommends awe walks, intentional time spent outside focused on nature. These, Keltner says, can inspire awe, that complex emotion we experience when encountering something so vast that our sense of self recedes. Awe apparently has measurable psychological and even physical benefits, like reducing anxiety, depression, even inflammation. So in summary, go outside and think of something other than yourself. It's not exactly rocket science, of course, or anything new for that matter, but it is great advice nonetheless. Now, of course, the goal of, in Keltner's words, making our sense of self recede is quite countercultural. For decades now, the dominant ideas of psychology and most of the social sciences has been that the self is the highest priority, that self-expression, self-discovery, self-actualization, or quote-unquote living authentically, are the keys to the meaning of life and the only way to be happy. The rigid dogmas of the late sexual revolution, that our so-called self-expression is our true self and that all of reality now must bend to accommodate, that's the fruit of this poisonous tree. All of which makes this quote-unquote new science, that true satisfaction comes when our sense of self recedes, so shocking to read in print. Joy, in other words, comes from looking outward and upward, not inward. The beautiful world that God created is a source of that joy because it draws us outward to something other than ourselves. Or to paraphrase something John Piper once said, most people do not stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon and think to themselves, wow, I am awesome. And ultimately, things like starry nights, clever animals, and beautiful sunsets will direct our thoughts upward. It's an incredible gift of God that He designed His handiwork in such a way that it would point us to Him. After all, beautiful things mean more when we know and love the person who made them. Something store-bought can never compare to something made by someone who actually had us in mind while making it. In the same way, the creation reveals that God loves us, and that He made the world with humans in mind. So all walks are therapeutically helpful because of what is actually true about the world, about the God who made it, and about us. In contrast, the inward turn that has marked our culture and is largely taken for granted these days as the key to finding your identity and the meaning of life, well, that's only left all of us more lost, more confused, and more depressed. So in summary, go outside. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Maria Baer. And for more resources to live like a Christian today and to support this very important ministry, go to breakpoint.org. Hi, I'm John Stone Street from the Colson Center. I want to invite you to join me and our friends from Focus on the Family and the Alliance Defending Freedom for the annual Great Lakes Symposium on Christian Worldview. The topic this year is being faithful to Christ in a hostile culture. Hear from President and CEO of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, the CEO and General Counsel of the Alliance Defending Freedom, Kristen Wagoner, and myself as we talk about what it means to stand firm in the face of cultural opposition, but to do so with the love of Christ. Thanks to generous support from our donors, this event is absolutely free. You can join us in person up in Bay Harbor, Michigan, July 27th at 7 p.m., or you can join us free for the live stream. Register at colsoncenter.org/Great Lakes. That's colsoncenter.org/Great Lakes.
Today on The Winning Walk, with Dr. Ed Young.
And then what do you have in the culture? How do they know what to market? They study kids like scientists study rats in a laboratory. And they sell clothes, they sell vocabulary, they sell hairstyle, they sell everything in the world. And the kids think, well, this is just what we've come up with. Oh no, you have been used and abused and marketed and programmed by those who are masters of deceit. What is this all about? And the thing among so many teenagers, if you're behind the times, is cutting. They cut themselves. What is that all about? Usually it's about, not always, a kid that is so put down and so frustrated and so rejected.
The truth is, the devil will mix God's truth with his lies to fool you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Evil Packaged, and examines the ways the enemy twists the truth to deceive you about sin. Discover how to fight back against these lies and make the devil go running. Stay tuned. That's coming up. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource that explores God's key promises for your life, called Living Under the Rainbow. This 275-page hardcover book will show you that God's promises aren't otherworldly utopian ideals, but real, practical, and for use in the here and now. We'll send you Living Under the Rainbow as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today and request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with a proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Evil Packaged, Part 2.
I want you to look at five corporations that you're familiar with. They're on your screen. These five corporations are big, big, big international conglomerates, powerful. These corporations market cool to your kids, C-O-O-L. By the way, cool is one of the few words that have survived many, many years. When I was in college, we talked about you're cool or you're uncool or that's cool or that's not cool. It's a word that keeps going on. Still today in the 21st century, cool is the word. Kids want to be cool. And these guys market cool to our kids. And the primary instrument they use is MTV. But I want to show you, first of all, the power that these five corporations have. And I want to read it to you. Follow on the screen. It's right there. The entertainment companies, which are a handful of massive conglomerates that own four of five music companies that sell 90% of music in the United States. Think about that. Those same companies also own all the film studios, all the major TV networks, all the TV stations pretty much in the 10 largest markets, and they own all or part of every single commercial cable channel. This is a massive empire. They market evil through films, books, music, CDs, internet asset, clothing, amusement parks, sports teams. They use all these weapons primarily to make money off the youth market. There they are, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as they market it. Have you watched MTV lately? I watched about 30 minutes of it this week. I watched another maybe 10 or 15 minutes of it. That's all I needed. If you haven't had that tragic experience, you need to. MTV is a total commercial. Everything about it is commercial. This film, this music, this look, this dress, this vocabulary. And the two kids they caricature, though they're not in personalities, but they keep displaying these two types of caricatures as sort of the role model for young teenagers all the way up to older teenagers. First is the MOOC, M-O-O-K, never heard of the MOOC. Now the MOOC is not a person, but it's sort of the ideal teenager, the MOOC. This is a teenager who is filled with testosterone, a teenager who is disrespectful to anybody and everybody, has sort of a narcissistic arrogance about them, and it is the MOOC. I mean, the MOOC is a cool operator, and the MOOC is marketed for the kids, and they want to dress like the MOOC and talk down people like the MOOC, and fool their parents like the mook and be slick like the mook. The mook is the one, and it is a primarily someone who sees everything with sexual innuendo. The mook is marketed. That's the guy. What about the gal? It's the midriff. Once again, this is not a person per se. It's this sort of the caricature you see all the way through what is marketed there to our kids. And the girl is, the female is, whereas the mook is to stay an adolescent a long time. You know, Howard Stern, Bill Clinton, they're classic mooks. They're still adolescents. And when Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky received more coverage than the Super Bowl, let me tell you something. That has played out till today's culture all the way to the middle school as they get involved in things they did not know anything about or never thought about. And that has been one of the deadliest immoral thing that still perforate our culture today. That is marketing evil big time. Now, midriff is the girl. She wants to be older, whereas the mook wants to stay an adolescent forever. And you've got the older, take the little kid, 3, 4, 5, 6, and make them become some sort of sexual image, some sort of sensual kind of picture. This is the midriff that they sell, trying to get our kids to grow up and be adults, to be adults. Whereas the young kid is appeared to be an adult and older as some kind of sensual object, whereas, and by the way, a sex object. That's how the females are taught. And you say, oh, this is a bunch of preacher nonsense. Just look at it, read it with your eyes and your heart open, and you can't miss it. It is the marketing of evil to our families. And then what do you have in the culture? Coming from all these conglomerates, how do they know what to market? They study kids like scientists study rats in a laboratory. They have those that investigate, those that look. They hire kids all over America to go see what's in, what's out, what is the look. And they keep creating looks that move them down and down and down, lower and lower and lower. More piercings, more tattoos. My goodness, Dennis Rodman almost looks normal today. What is this all about? And the thing among so many teenagers, if you're behind the times, is cutting. They cut themselves. What is that all about? Usually it's about, not always, a kid that is so put down and so frustrated and so rejected, usually by a strong, strong figure in their family. They can't handle the emotional pain. Their sore physical pain and their own bleeding helps alleviate some of the emotional pain. And that is epidemic proportion, parents, in our schools and among our kids today. And I could go on and on and on how evil has been marketed in the family to divide the family, to destroy the family, and particularly to our kids. No sense of respect. Because it's the mook. It's the midriff. That's cool. And they sell clothes. They sell vocabulary. They sell hairstyle. They sell everything in the world. And the kids think, well, this is just what we've come up with. Oh, no. You have been used and abused and marketed and programmed by those who are masters of deceit. This is where we are in the marketing of evil in our family. Also, there's a marketing of evil in the church. In the church. And the market there is be silent. Shh, church, be silent. And then I want you to listen to this. If you forget everything I've ever said, no big deal. Everything you know, forget it. But you need to understand this, and you got to listen because it's not easy to grasp. I've dealt with it before, but it's exceedingly important. Today, to silence the church, people begin to say, well, don't you know about separation of church and state? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got an announcement to make. Separation, church, state, is not in the Constitution or the bylaws. You don't find the words there. And that And the way that is used is completely inaccurate. Listen to me and understand this. There is separation of church and state in the bylaws, the Constitution, the documents of Russia. Oh yeah, Communist China. The church that's there, they can't speak against the state or speak about morality. They are silenced in those nations. Make no mistake, it's in their rules, their regulations. That's not true with us. Though we've been told, even by some courts, that it's true. You can't speak out. You can't get involved. And you speak out on a moral issue that's in the arena today, I get a zillion letters. Well, you move from being a Bible preaching person to politics. Let me tell you something. When a law is passed, somebody's morals are being legislated for or against. Now, we're not Democrats, we're not Republicans, we're not Independents, we're not Libertarians, we're not whatever you want to name. We are God-fearing people who are called by God to speak truth into our culture. Our culture today is a child abuser. Our culture is a child abuser. And I can tell you that MTV and all these marketers are as interested in children. Oh, they are interested in our kids. They're interested just like a lion is interested in a gazelle. And there has been marketing of evil in our family. It's marketing evil in the church. So the church can't speak because they're separated from church and state. Let me tell you where this came from. Jefferson, third president, elected. Most all Christians in America voted against Jefferson to be president. You know that? Because they said he wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't. He was a deist at best. But Baptists voted for him. Is that crazy? Most every Christian of the denomination voted against Jefferson because they thought he was with Robespierre and the Revolution in France, and they burned all the books. They said Jefferson's going to burn out Bibles. Even when he's elected, a lot of Christians will hide their Bibles saying the new president is going to make us burn all our Bibles. Oh, yeah. But the Baptists voted for him. What happened to us? I'll tell you why. Follow me carefully. There were five states, part of the Union, Jefferson elected, and these five states had their own denominations, their own religions for that state. For example, the state of Connecticut, it was a state, and they said you had to be a Congregationalist. You had to be a part of the Congregational Church. And so, therefore, when the Baptists who were in Connecticut, a little remnant group there, they were being persecuted by the state and by the congregations because they were not congregationalists, they were Baptists. And so when Jefferson elected, the Baptists wrote and congratulated him. And the Baptists said, will you help us? We're under persecution because we're Baptists and not congregationalists. And Jefferson wrote back, thanked them for their support, and said, I wish there were a wall of separation. I'm paraphrasing. I've read all these letters time and time again. Look at the Federalist Papers who explain it a little clearer. But anyway, he says, I wish there were a wall of separation between the church and the state, i.e. Connecticut, and the Baptist Church and the Congregational Church. So as in the federal government doesn't say you have to be a part of this religion or this denomination. I hope there would be a wall there that would be true of the states. But it wasn't true of the states then. You understand that? Many states, five of them, had their own denominations, and they said, you have to be a part of this denomination. The Baptists are saying, we want to have freedom where the state doesn't impose religion on us. And says, just like it is in the United States of America. And they had the idea that somehow this teaches that the church can't speak to the state. Have you ever been to Washington? Have you ever looked at a dollar bill? Have you ever looked on the side of the Supreme Court building? Ever looked inside the Supreme Court building? You have scripture and words and references of God and Christ and the commandment all over who we are. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. Even when Jefferson were president, the Congress raised money to send thousands of Bibles and have them distributed in America, the U.S. Congress. Also, they even sent missionaries to go to Native Americans to seek to win them to Christ, funded by the U.S. Congress. So they had in almost every house of government there, from the House of Representatives to the Supreme Court building itself, they had Christian worship services every single Sunday. Does it sound like there was any intention to keep the state separate from the church? Absolutely not. The state cannot dictate to us how we are to worship, but as free men and women from the walk of God, we can certainly speak God's truth and God's word to the state. That is a part of why we're Americans. So evil is marketed to the church to keep us silent. Also, evil is marketed in the church when the church, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, preaches another gospel. Another gospel. What is usually this another gospel we have in the church? You know what it is? It's a gospel of prosperity and happiness. It's the idea that, well, a man expressed it to me. He said, "Pastor, I'm going to divorce my wife because I am just absolutely miserable. I know God hates divorce, but God will forgive me of divorcing my wife because I know He wants me to be happy." See, happiness above it. Oh, you have to be happy. If you're not happy, oh my goodness. God wants everybody to be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, God didn't call us in Christ to live in a playground. We live in a battleground. And that battleground is where evil is permeating everything around us. Doesn't mean, well, everything's got to be negative, everything's got to be. Oh no, in the middle of that battleground, when it becomes a holy ground and we come to know God in Christ, in the middle of whatever storms that come or the beautiful sunshiny days, we still are committed and we are still at peace with Him. Listen, Jesus isn't the path to happiness. Jesus is happiness. You see, that's what we have to understand. This is how Jesus taught. This is how He taught. By the way, I bumped this week. Y'all probably already knew this. I bumped into something I just missed. You know, Jesus in His teaching, He'd always open with truly or verily, verily, or literally He's saying amen, amen. Interesting. Now, in Jesus' day, when a rabbi would stand up and teach the synagogue, he'd open the scroll, the Torah, he'd read, and he'd teach. Now, the old elders said over in the synagogue, if they approved of what He said when He was finished, they'd say, amen, 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 amen. Or verily, verily, verily. Or truly, truly, truly. Same word. When Jesus taught, He opened up with amen. He opened up with verily, verily. He opened up with truly, truly. What's He saying? He's saying, folks, it doesn't matter what you think about what I'm saying. If it doesn't meet your expectations, if it doesn't even measure up to common sense, Jesus said, it doesn't make any difference because I was here before the foundation of the world. And I know the hearts of every single one of you. And I'm not speaking this to have a debate or let you spin it or say you understand. He said, I'm speaking the truth from God because I am God. Verily, verily, amen, amen. Therefore, we're under the authority of this book. And this book tells us, with all the marketing of evil in the family, to divide it, to corrupt our kids, all the marketing of evil in the church, to silence it and to distort and preach another Jesus that's not the true Jesus. With all of that, as we are in Christ, He that's in you, He that's in me, is greater than the evil marketing that is in the world. And therefore, as we already heard by song, not just words, but even in a broken, evil world, there still is individually and collectively victory in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we end today's program, it's great to have Dr. Young here in the studio with us to answer a quick question. Dr. Young, you said that one of Satan's favorite strategies is to attack our families. I'm sure there are those listening right now who wonder how they can protect their family from the devil's schemes. What is your advice?
First of all, teach every member of your family, as you apply this principle to your life, how to say no. No to a lot of things that seem good on the surface and seem okay. It's okay if I go there to their worship this one Sunday. It's okay if I see this movie. It has just a little. It's okay. We've got to learn to have discerning minds. And I've been talking about recently in worship how our minds are renewed. This gives us the ability to know when to say no, N-O, and to K-N-O-W, when to say yes, Y-E-S. And when we teach that in our families and model that in our lives as we seek to live in the basis of a biblical worldview and the basis of God's revealed truth in the Bible, let me tell you something. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And on that path, that little part of the Lord's Prayer will be answered. Deliver us from evil.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. We'd love to help you stand firmly on the truth of God's promises, full of confidence, boldness, and hope, with Dr. Young's resource, Living Under the Rainbow. In this 275-page hardcover book, you'll discover that God's promises, wrapped up in His salvation covenant through Jesus Christ, aren't otherworldly utopian ideals, but real, practical, and for use in the here and now. So call now to request Living Under the Rainbow as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thank you for joining us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins his message, The Strategy of Satan, to show you more proven truth about the devil's schemes.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350, 9255.
As we remember the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Stanfield Commercial Cleaning in West Palm Beach thanks those who have served in the U.S. military and the families who have sacrificed on behalf of our freedoms. We live in the land of the free because of our brave. That's from Stanfield Commercial Cleaning, where they are committed to service and satisfaction. Call 561-315-4955 for Stanfield Commercial Cleaning in West Palm Beach. They are wishing you and yours a safe and happy 4th of July.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM.
Far too many of us are living lives like the flicker of a candle rather than the blazing of the noonday sun.
Dr. Tony Evans says when we seek God, a fire is lit within us.
Once you receive the call to salvation, God now gives you the call to life's purpose.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative.
Lots of things can be mass-produced, but today Dr. Evans starts a series based on the idea that God builds one life at a time, each of us with our own special purpose on this planet. Let's join him as he explains.
I don't know how many Seinfeld watchers we have here today, but it broke all kinds of records as a TV sitcom. What was interesting about Seinfeld is that it was noted not to have a plot, and it went to the top of the charts. They were analyzing why Seinfeld was so popular, and it was concluded that Seinfeld was popular because the folk watching it were in the same situation as the sitcom. Plotless. No clue. Aimlessly going from situation to situation. Sitcom. Far too many of us are living lives like the flicker of a candle rather than the blazing of the noonday sun. Meandering. No brilliance. No significance. Because there is no sense of ultimate purpose, destiny, or the word we're going to use in our series, calling. Your calling, your reason for being, is your customized life purpose, which God has ordained for you and you alone to accomplish, which is designed to bring Him greatest glory and the maximum expansion of His kingdom. There are three things I want to say about this definition of calling, which has to do with your purpose for being. First of all, it is a created purpose. Purpose, calling, it's your reason for being. It's the reason why you were made. You were made to fulfill your calling. A car is not fulfilling its calling if it doesn't run. A piano is not fulfilling its calling if all the strings are broke and there is no tune coming out. It's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was produced. It's there, but it's not doing anything, or certainly not doing its ordained thing. To live life without purpose or calling is to be like the Dead Sea over in Israel. No life there. It's death. Fish can't swim in it. You can't swim in it. You get the salt in your eyes, it'll burn you. It is a lifeless existence because it is not fulfilling its purpose. Far too many of us are living Dead Sea kind of lives. Perpetual stagnation. No calling. You see this at the very beginning of the Bible, this created purpose. And we could go through the whole first chapter, but let's just look at a couple of items here. Verse 14 of Genesis 1 says, "Then God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And God, verse 16, made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God didn't just wake up one day and say, "I'm bored, why don't I just throw something up there to shine?" He said, no, let me make two great lights. One that will govern the day. It will determine how bright the day gets. The other one will govern the night, and it will have a supporting cast of stars. In other words, He made the sun, He made the moon, and He made the stars for a reason. Not just to do it. Not because He had nothing better to do. It was an intelligent, thought through reason. Verse 20, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth and open expanse of the heavens." In verse 26, let us make man our own image according to likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the sky, the cattle of the earth, and all the creeping things. And God created man in his own image. He says in verse 28, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He doesn't just say, let us make man. He says, let us make man because we have something for him to do. Not just be there, not just meander around, not just go around and notice how beautiful the animals are and how wonderful it is to float on the water. There has got to be more to life than this. Most of us spend a lot of time making a living, not a lot of time making a life. And so we suffer from what I call the same old disease. Every day you get up out of that same old bed and you go to that same old bathroom to look in the same old mirror at that same old face, go to that same old closet to look at those same old clothes, to put it on that same old body, to go to that same old breakfast table, eat that same old breakfast cooked by that same old wife. You know, you get in the same old car and go to the same old work, down that same old road, work next to them same old people for that same old pay, doing that same old job, and you go back down that same old road, into that same old house, hear that same old noise from those same old kids, pick up that same old remote, sit down there and go over those same old programs, go to the dinner table and eat that same old dinner from that same old cook, you know, and go to bed and wake up the next day to rehearse that same old routine. And there's nothing wrong with routine if it's tied to purpose. But if it's routine tied to nothing, you wind up like Dionne Warwick raising the question, what's it all about out there? No manufacturer designs and markets a product until he's determined what it's for. You don't go make something and market it and not be able to answer the question what you do with it. But when you live your life raising the question, why am I here? That question, however you phrase it, that's a question of purpose. It's a question of calling. When God created, he created with a purpose. Now let me tell you a secret. The created thing cannot tell you, watch this, its purpose until its creator tells the created thing what its purpose is. Now, come on, let's do an exercise. Everybody here sitting on a pew, right? Ask that pew what it's here for. Don't look at me. Ask the pew what it's here for. That pew has no knowledge of its reason for being. That's determined by somebody else. I'm talking to you over a microphone right now. If I were to ask the mic, Mike, why are you here? The mic couldn't tell me. It was the creator of the mic that says why the mic is here. One of the reasons we can't find our calling is because we're trying to tell ourselves why we were called. That was deep, man, that I think about it. We're trying to self-define our calling. A calling assumes a caller. If the phone is ringing, somebody else is calling you. God is the caller, you are the callee. He is the manufacturer, you are the product. That's why you can never discover your calling apart from God. It's impossible. But far too many of us are functioning outside of our divinely ordained reason for being, or we're not functioning in it at all, which means we are existing. And when you exist, you have to create callings. You have to make stuff up. Now, when you get a bunch of folk who don't know their calling living in the same house, you got a miserable place to live. Because he don't know why he's there, she don't know why she's there, so that already in a frustration, you put on top of that just the regular trials and tribulations of life. There is nothing that is calling them that is bigger than who they are. The successful single versus the defeated single is the distinction between the called one and the one who does not know their calling. The one who does not know their calling thinks all of life is wrapped up in that man or woman they have not yet found and God has not yet supplied. The one who is not frustrated, still desiring, but not frustrated, is because they have been called to something bigger that no other person can fix for them.
We'll have more on that when Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I'd like to tell you about the perfect book that goes along with the series we've begun today. It's called Kingdom Purpose, Discovering Your Calling in God's Great Design. This book from Dr. Evans builds on what we've been learning, that God has an agenda not just for the world, but for each and every one of us, custom designed to give us the deep sense of satisfaction that comes from making a real difference. You'll learn how to find your one-of-a-kind special assignment from God and discover how the Lord will give you everything you need to carry it out. Best of all, for a limited time, we're bundling this book along with two volumes containing all 12 full-length audio lessons from Tony's current message series, Called for a Purpose. You can get the Kingdom Purpose book and the Called for a Purpose audio series on CD or digital download as our gift when you assist Tony's ministry with a donation to help us keep this program on the air. All the details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. And if you have a little one in your life, ask about the hardcover picture book from Dr. Evans, designed especially for kids, called My Biggest Questions About God. We'd be happy to include this special children's book along with our current package deal. Again, visit tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members assist with your request. I'll have that information for you again after part two of today's message and this.
There is so much kindness from God that you can get used to it and forget that none of those things that make life possible start with us. They start with God.
Join a unique nationwide kindness campaign by committing to do one kind act each week for someone else. After your kind action, share a specifically designed kindness card with them. Each card has a QR code that leads to the gospel and tools for spiritual growth. Visit tonyevans.org to request your cards today. Be kind. Change culture.
Let me show you a great verse. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. What a wonderful verse. The book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. After John. Chapter 13, verse 36. Listen to this. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. What a great verse. You say, I don't see nothing great about that verse. That verse said, a man died, became worm food, underwent decay. One, he didn't die until he had completed his purpose. What a horrible way to die, never knowing why you showed up in the first place. What a horrible thing to do, to live 75, 80, 85 years, and all you can talk about is your job. In fact, we got folk here 30 and 35 years old who all they can talk about is retiring from their job. Because you hate to get up in the morning, you hate where you're going when you get up in the morning, you hate the people you're going to see when you get there because they got up in the morning like you did. It's just one miserable thing. What is missing? Your calling. Proverbs 29:18 says that without a vision, without a word from God, people perish. What he's saying is that when people have no direction in life, they wither, they die. So this is not a small subject. This is not an insignificant subject. God said of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, while you were in your mama's womb, I called you. Boy, that's great news that God calls in advance. So calling is critical, but it's tied to your creation. You were created with a calling. Everybody in here who is saved, who has accepted Jesus Christ by faith alone, who has been born into God's family, has been called. Once you receive the call to salvation, God now gives you the call to life's purpose. Secondly, it's not only a created purpose, it is a customized purpose. Nobody has your call but you. Let me say, that's good news. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has your call but you. Nothing else matters any more than knowing that you're fulfilling the purpose for which you were placed on the earth. Nothing. Once you hit that, then you can sing like one great song person, "You can't touch this." Because once you have that, you are now alive. You're alive. I am never more alive than when I stand up here. I had a sister tell me, she said, "You sure come to life up there." I thought, what you trying to say? I'm a boring person down there, baby. That's because this is my calling. I used to preach on street corners in front of bus stops in Atlanta, Georgia. So I wait for folks to gather at the bus stop, and I stand up in the front of the bus stop and start preaching. You must be born again. Every Friday night, I'd lead a group of students out in college, and I'd preach, "You must be born again." Same sermon, because that's all I knew. But I was called. Let me tell you what will happen. If you do not pursue your calling, you'll spend your life wishing you were somebody else. Now think about that, because that was a little deep too. You're not happy with who you are. That's because you've not yet discovered who you are. David says in Psalm 139, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made, because I am distinct." In fact, this principle is biologically solidified. Your fingerprint is not like your neighbor's free fingerprint. Every fingerprint in this room and in the world is distinctly different. It's hard now to commit a crime, because now they discovered how to get DNA off of everything. That's another subject. But they can get DNA now. They can track you down. Why? Because your DNA is uniquely yours. What is true of your fingerprint, what is true of your DNA, is true of your calling. Nobody has your calling but you, because nobody is you but you. So the beautiful thing about it is it's customized calling. It's calling with your name on it. Jesus says, "I finished the work which my Father gave me to do." He gave me my own job, my own special reason for being, and I completed that task. That is, I fulfilled my purpose for being. My wife wrote a book, Seasons of the Woman's Life, and some of it's drawn from Esther. And of course, Esther's key statement is in chapter 4, where Esther is a beautiful woman. She's a fox. She's a bad mamma jamma. She's got it all together. And her beauty causes her to be selected by Ahasuerus as his new bride. He saw her and said, "Oh, shoot, whoa." And he takes her. So she gets all comfortable in the king's house, because she now living large. She in the big house. She's got money. She's got cars, she's got clothes. While the Jewish people were in trouble and about to be extinguished, genocide, her uncle Mordecai says, well, aren't you gonna help us? He said, I can't help y'all, because me and the king, we kind of not talking for the last 30 days. He might get irritated, so, no, I pray for you. Mordecai then writes her back, and that's chapter 4, and it's a zinger. He writes her back, Evans translation, girlfriend, don't think that you're going to escape just because you done moved uptown. So don't think just because you moved uptown now, you're not in the hood no more, you're not living with the rest of us anymore, that somehow you have escaped all this, because when the hammer comes down and they find out who you are, you're going to be just like the rest of us. Secondly, don't think that God can't do this without you. Because if he can't use you, he'll call somebody else. All right? But then after hitting her with the negative stuff, he hits her with this positive line. The positive line is this. Have you ever considered, girlfriend, that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Have you ever considered God made you pretty so that Ahasuerus would fall in love with you because he knew the Jews were going to be in trouble, and so he wanted to have one of his people in a strategic position at the right time to fulfill their calling for a greater purpose than you just being able to shop and customize your wardrobe? In other words, Esther was to look at her life in terms of her calling, not merely in terms of her money, her status, her cars, her houses, and her stuff. She was to look at it in terms of her reason for being called to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Dr. Tony Evans, with the first from his encouraging and empowering message series, Called for a Purpose. As I mentioned earlier, this entire collection is available for you to own as digital files for playback on your audio device, or in a 2-volume 12-lesson CD set. As usual, the set contains a lot of bonus material we won't have time to present here on the broadcast. For a limited time, when you make a donation to help support Tony's work, we'll say thanks by sending you the entire Called for a Purpose audio collection, along with a copy of Tony's latest book, Kingdom Purpose, as well as the optional children's picture book, My Biggest Questions About God. Make the arrangements today by visiting tonyevans.org or reach out to one of our helpful team members by phone. They're available 24/7 to help with your resource requests. Just call 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or again, visit us online at tonyevans.org. If each one of us was custom created to fit into God's design for our world, why don't more of us feel the sense of fulfillment that truth ought to give us? Dr. Evans addresses that question tomorrow as he continues his look at discovering our unique purpose on this planet. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.